Captain Billy Hayes. Billy Hayes is in charge of our robbery homicide division here at Los Angeles Police Department. Right now, our robbery homicide division has the lead in this investigation. We're being assisted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and also by detectives from throughout the city who are working on this case. The main reason we want to have you all here today is to ask for the public's help in identifying the individuals that perpetrated this crime. And we're giving the tip line here, which I'll give out in just a minute. The other reason why we're here is because we know this is a very important story. We know people have a lot of questions, and there's a lot of interest in the story, and we want to keep you up informed as much as possible, up to the minute, even if we don't have a lot of new information to report. The robbery homicide tip line, which is staffed around the clock by robbery homicide detectives, is in the 213 area code 486-6890. We ask with anyone with any information, no matter how slight, about this crime, no matter how obscure that reference this crime might be, to contact Robbery Homicide Division. We have more than 20 detectives from RHD that are working on this case, and they're there and they're available to follow up on clues. So if you have a clue, if you have a tip, if you saw something yesterday, please contact Robbery Homicide Division. We ask that you contact the number and our detectives will take down your information, and you can report anonymously. Just to recap where we are, on Wednesday, May 20th, around 1 a.m. in the 8800 block of Oakdale, a mother checked on her 10-year-old daughter, made sure she was safe and in bed where she was. A few hours later, at about 3:40 a.m., that same mother heard a noise in their house, went to the room, and noticed that their 10-year-old daughter was missing. The house was checked. She was not found. Other families were woken up. They looked for her, couldn't find her. They contacted the police, and we began this search for this child. We published her name. We published a photo of her in an effort to try and locate her. And ultimately, about 12 hours later, in the area of Canoga and Oxnard, we were able to locate her. Through the help of a Good Samaritan, a male Hispanic who we have not yet identified, he directed the girl to some police officers who were nearby, and she was taken into custody, transported to a local hospital where she received treatment. She is at home recovering with her parents now. We did do a preliminary interview of her yesterday. We got some information, some suspect information, and some information about what happened to her, but we didn't get everything that we like to get. Understand that as a 10-year-old child, traumatized after a very traumatic experience, and she hadn't slept in a long period of time. We got some information, but we're going to go back with our expert interviewers and try and re-interview her over the next couple hours. One of the things that we do have that we want to make sure everybody knows is that one of the suspect description that she had was an 18-year-old male, Caucasian, and there was no further description on him. Now, 18-year-old was a guess at his age. He didn't ID himself as an 18-year-old. It was a guesstimate as to his age. He had a male accomplice with him. We don't know the name of that male accomplice or the identity, obviously. We don't even have any descriptors of that male accomplice. She reported that she was placed in several vehicles throughout the course of this 12-hour ordeal and driven to various places throughout the San Fernando Valley. We were able to locate one of those vehicles, a storage facility at Mason and Nordoff. And our detectives went out there and processed that scene, meaning they looked for evidence and looked for clues of anything that had happened out of that scene. Obviously, the results of that search are still going to be kept confidential. There's one thing that I want to address with everybody, and that is the confidentiality of this victim. We asked last night, after we located her, that the media outlets not publish her name or her photograph anymore due to the confidentiality of her being a juvenile and her being a victim of a serious crime. We also asked that any information about the trauma or the indignities or the additional crimes that she may have suffered at the hands of these two perpetrators during that 12 hours not be published and not be discussed in the paper for her own dignity at the request of her parents and at the request of the police department. And I want to thank those media outlets that did not publish that information. I think history will show that you did the right thing. I think causing a 10-year-old girl to suffer further indignities by having her name or her image or what she went through in detail published in the paper or in the news, further traumatizes that poor girl. Not everybody did that, unfortunately. Some editors chose to publish some detailed information about the crimes that this poor girl suffered, and I think that's unfortunate. Other than that, we don't have a whole lot of new information. Again, our tip line is what we're here for. We want to make sure everybody knows what that tip line is. Robbery homicide detectives are standing by. They're ready to provide you any information or take in any information that anyone has regarding anything they know about this crime. And no clue, no matter how slight, will go uninvestigated. I have a couple minutes for a few questions if anybody has anything that they'd like to ask. Video surveillance is very important, and as you know, the San Fernando Valley has a ton of video surveillance equipment. One of the things our RB homicide guys do is they go out and canvas the area looking for video cameras. I don't have the results of that canvas. Undoubtedly, there's video cameras in the area. How much they picked up, what use that is to us right now, we're not able to disclose right now. But know that video cameras are one of our best clues, and we go after that all the time.
Sir.
You know what? That's one of the possibilities we're exploring. Right now, we're looking at this as an abduction, a stranger abduction, one of those things that's very, very rare in this country, but it does happen. And right now, that is one of our thrusts. We're also looking at any possible other clues. Maybe we're looking at registered sex offenders in the area. We're looking at anything having to do with the family, any acquaintances that she might have come across, any internet information. We look at all those things. And that's a great thing about Robbery Homicide Division. They have a talented group of detectives up there completely dedicated to this is what they do. And those robbery homicide detectives leaves no stone unturned. They will look at every possible clue, every possible connection, including the ones you've discussed. I don't know whether those to be true or not, but they'll look at every one of those. I don't have a lot of information about any prior crimes that occurred with other members of this family. What we're concerned about now is to find out the two guys that we have as identified as possible suspects in this case.
Dr. Smith, if this was a stranger kidnapped, do people in that area need to be concerned? Do the families who live in that neighborhood and surrounding communities need to worry about their own children if this was a stranger?
Well, one thing that's important that everybody should know is this is not a serial or not a series of kidnappings of young children. We don't have any other kidnappings of this nature in that area or anywhere in Los Angeles. We don't have any series of children that are getting snatched out of their beds at night. However, as a parent, I think every parent knows that until these two individuals are captured and taken into custody, we should use all the caution that we can with our children, making sure our doors are locked, being extra alert, maintaining extra vigilance, because until these two individuals are caught, we don't know what they're capable of. Right now, we're looking at the possibility of two individuals. That's what we believe we're looking at. Those two, there was no indication that there were any other people besides the two.
So you said that there was an attempted kidnapping on Friday. Do you guys know about that and whether that's related to this at all?
I personally don't know anything about an attempted kidnapping at a school.
Was there a neighbor that called in a prowler at the same time, like a block away, that might be related at the same time?
Again, I'm not aware of the specifics of that call. I've had people ask me questions about that. I don't know the specifics about prowler calls. But again, the robbery homicide guys will do a run of all the crimes that occurred in that area, and they'll look at all the possible connections to any other crimes, including that occurred in that area. As you know, the area they were searching yesterday during the search was about a 2-square-mile area, a huge section of the valley. That's why we called out so many people.
Understanding the delicate issue involving this girl, how do you expect us to be honest to the public and downplay the seriousness of what happened here? And how should we go about doing that? Because I understand, everybody understands what this must be like for them. But at the same time, you're asking all of us to lie.
I'm not asking for anybody to lie. I think that any parent that's at home at night, that wakes up to check on their child at 3:40 in the morning and goes to their daughter, 10-year-old daughter's bedroom and finds that daughter missing and knows that that daughter's been taken by somebody they don't know and kept captive for 12 hours and had to go through who knows what kind of indignities. I think that's serious enough for any parent in America to know that this is a serious crime. And I don't think by not disclosing the specifics of what this girl suffered during that ordeal, I don't think that is lessening the story, and I certainly don't think that's lying. I think that's being respectful to a young child who has to live with the things that have happened with her for the rest of her life.
You've processed the truck by this time, Andy. You've been able to trace it to somebody. Is that person a suspect, and have you ID'd the two suspects in this case?
We have not ID'd the two suspects in this case. The truck you're talking about is one of several vehicles that we're looking at. You know, obviously the detectives have information about ownership of different pieces of property, and they're following up on those leads as well. I don't have a description that's detailed enough. What we're hoping, since we have this victim, we're going to re-interview in the next, over the course of the next couple hours, we're hoping to get a better description to get more details. Obviously, this poor child has suffered a very traumatic event, and we're asking that we just get a little bit of time so we can have an opportunity to interview further.
Do we know at this point how they got into the house?
Right now, we have officers from Devonshire area that are assigned to the house. They are. I was out there this morning, and I spoke with them, and they're going to be there for the foreseeable future. Not because we expect anything else to happen, but because we expect, but because we want to assist the family. We want to make sure that the family is okay. We want to make sure that you know, nothing else happens, and make sure that nobody comes up and bothers the family during this period of time.
Not because the family is involved in any kind of
delinquency. Certainly not because. No, sir. Not, no, sir. The officers are there not to because of anything the family's done. The officers are there to help maintain privacy and make sure everything's okay. Last question.
Have you spoken to the two brothers that were involved in that kidnapping, and what is their relation to the family? I think it's important that if this was a random, I mean, that's the first thing neighbors tell us. Was this random or was this family targeted? It makes a huge difference for people who live in the valley.
And that's a great question, and we don't have the answer to that. Until we can find these individuals that perpetrated this, we won't know whether this was a random case or whether it was targeted against this family or this child for any particular reason. So right now, we don't know.
Have you spoken to the brothers?
I can't answer. I don't know the answer to that question, where they took it to.
House?
Okay. That's all the questions we have time for. Thank you so much for that. Again, the robbery homicide number, 213-486-6890. Robbery homicide detectives are standing by to take your calls. Thanks a lot.